listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
Give it to me. Give it to me again. Give it to me again. Again. We got him. We got him. Romello Brinson is a Miami Hurricane. Talk to me, Jordan. How are we feeling?
Dude, we're hyped, man. We're hyped. I've drank like six Mountain Dews in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy hell. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. It's official. Romello Brinson, four-star receiver out of Miami Northwestern, has just verbally recommitted to the Miami Hurricanes, one of the best receivers not only in the state of Florida but also in the entire country. 43 catches last year, 834 yards, 8 touchdowns, and he helped Miami Northwestern win that state championship last year. I'm going to let you talk for a few seconds because I have to catch my breath.
Yeah, man, we're hyped. I mean, I was watching Brinson's film the other day, and dude, he's long, he's rangy, 6'2", 180 pounds. He's quick. You know, I'd say he's quicker than he is fast, but his ball skills are elite for a high school guy. You know, I've said this many times, I'm not like the I don't consider myself like a guru at scouting or recruiting. But that's my take on it. So yeah. I'm pretty friggin' excited. And then, I mean, do you want to say what you were telling me before we started recording that's potential other good recruiting news, or are we going to keep that in-house?
No, I mean, let's talk about it. So Khalil Brantley, the tight end that is committed to Miami, he was doing an Instagram live video. He was there at Brinson's commitment party. The entire like community was there, so that was pretty cool. But one of the guys that hopped on the Instagram live was our boy, the golden child, Jake Garcia.
Yeah.
Whoo! And I mean, he was chatting it up, and I saw that, and I was freaking.
Yeah, dude, he's coming. He's freaking coming.
Dude, I really think he is. Like, and I'm not joking. I really think he is.
Yeah, I've just kind of had a feeling about him almost the whole time. That, you know, I mean, admittedly, like after he committed to USC and then we were, you know, courting other guys. But he just always felt like a Cane. And then as soon as they started to show interest in Miller Moss, I don't know. I've just always kind of felt like he'd be a Cane.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a couple guests coming on. First one is Kevin Fiedler. Is he ready to come on?
Yeah, he is. Let me patch him in. Kevin, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Good. Welcome
Kevin,
back on the show.
What's going on, little bro?
Marsh, how we doing today? How you feeling?
We're hyped!
We are. I've never been more excited. I have never been more excited.
Bro, was that not the, like, I feel like I was waiting for, I feel like today has dragged on for, like, years. That was insane.
I think this was the most excited I've been for a recruit in a while. And so every like 2 seconds, I was like, okay, we are 3 hours, 46 minutes and 26 seconds away from Romello Brinson committing. And then it took another 30 minutes on top of that. So reward at the end felt so much better than it should have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's funny you bring up, you know, this is the most excited you've been for a recruit in a while, because I feel like that's how a lot of people are about Romello Brinson. Why do you think that is?
I think the thing is it's kind of twofold. The talent on the field is there. He's a deep threat wide receiver who's got the potential to be an all conference, even potentially an all American type player who can contribute almost day one for the Hurricanes. And it's the fact that he's from Miami. He's a Miami Northwestern kid. And for the most part, Miami has missed out on these kind of guys. 2 years ago, Romello Brinson is probably in Georgia or at Texas A&M. Or somewhere else, and Miami missed out on another guy. And it seemed like for the first time in a while, we're finally excited because Miami got a local commit who has all the talent in the world, who's got everything you want out of a wide receiver, who's 6'2", 6'3", had 843 yards against Division I corners. Why aren't people excited? There is no reason you can't be excited for this move.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, absolutely. Where do you think, you know, I know you hit on it a little bit, but what do you like most about Romello Brinson's game, and what do you think, how do you think he'll fit into the Rhett Lashley offense?
I think the thing I like the most is his ball control, his body control, his ability to track the ball when it's in the air, because that's something you can't really teach a wide receiver. For the most part, you either have it or you don't, and Romello Brinson has it. You know, he obviously, you know, he probably needs help with route running and kind of getting the proper releases, but that comes with experience, that comes with playing at a college football system. And I think for Lashley and all these kind of guys, it's a outside wide receiver that you can develop into something more than what he is. And that's Miami doesn't have a Romello Brinson. They've got a whole bunch of great wide receivers, Peyton, Warsham, you've got Wiggins, you've got Pope, you've got Harley. They don't have a player like Romello Brinson who can change the game, like a deep threat, who isn't, you know, a speedster, but has insane ball control, is really tall, really physical. I mean, I'm just excited to see what happens with him, because I'm thinking about all the different ways you can fit a guy like him into a system, and you can go wild. And yeah. I mean, I love being wild. And when you can be wild with a wide receiver like Romello Brinson, sign me up.
Yeah, so I mean, tell us what this means for like Cameron Kitchens, and I mean, is he the only other I guess big time Northwestern recruit that we're going after, or is there another guy?
No, I think it's Kitchens is the last domino to fall, and you know, a lot of people speculated that if you got Brinson, you got Kitchens, and I mean, I don't see why not. And you're talking about five Miami Northwestern kids coming to Miami.
Yeah.
Five great, talented guys as well. Hammett, Brantley's going to be a really talented tight end. I think his rating on 247 Sports and all these other recruiting websites is so underrated. I think he's a four-star talent. You have Tim Burns, then you add Romello Brinson, and then you get Cam. I mean, that's five talented players who are going to make an impact for a long time, and it builds a trust level with a high school, and that's the most important thing is when you have coaches that trust you, and you have players that have trusted you in the past, it helps you really develop a pipeline there. And I mean, if you want to build a pipeline with a school in Miami, in South Florida, there aren't many better options than Miami Northwestern. There just aren't.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally. And so, and I don't know if you were on Instagram Live watching the videos, but Jake Garcia was on Khalil Brantley's video. He was chiming in and everything. Do you think, especially with Miller Moss committing to USC, do you think that there's any shot that we can flip Jake Garcia?
I mean, I think right now, I wouldn't be shocked if they did. I would not be shocked if in two months, we're talking about Jake Garcia in a Miami Hurricanes uniform. Now, do I know if it happens? No. There are going to be a lot of schools that are going to go after Jake Garcia if he decommits from USC. And there are going to be a lot of competition for a team like Miami to try and beat without having the winning on their back like some of these other schools do. But Manny Diaz and company just got Romello Brinson. So they could do whatever they want. They could probably go into a room with Jake Garcia and get him to commit the same day, and I wouldn't be shocked. Because what Miami does is they get into the room with these guys and they let the pedigree do the talking. And if you can do it with Jake Garcia, sign me up, because 2022 sounds a lot more exciting with Jake Garcia and Romello Brinson.
Yeah, man.
Chills.
I love Garcia as a prospect. I mean, I was tweeting about it last night. No disrespect to Miller Moss, but, you know, who Moss is an equally great prospect. But to me, it was never a competition between those two. I was always a Garcia guy.
Me too.
I don't really see why people would think Miller Moss is better, even though he's still good, right? I love Jake Garcia. I'd kill to have him in this recruiting class.
I think the reason why people think Miller Moss is better, and it's because they're really 1A, 1B. I mean, if you like one, you like one, and if you like the other, you like the other. They're both really talented players. But I love what Jake Garcia brings on the field. He's got all the timing you want out of a quarterback.
Yep.
Has the release. He is a very developed prospect, who, yep. you know, maybe he needs a redshirt year when he gets to Miami, if he gets to Miami. But you've gotten Kosi Perry. You've got Marsh's guy, Tate Martell. You've got Tyler mm-hmm. Van Dyke. You've got options there. So you don't have to start him immediately. And you get Jake Garcia the time to develop as a quarterback. We're talking about a potential draft pick in the future, a potential All-American, a potential starter, yeah. big-time impact player. And what better to go into big-time games than a guy like that? I mean, yeah. I can't think of many guys. I really can't.
I mean, okay. So, last question for you, Kev. We don't want to keep you too long. How do you think? I mean, because obviously last year was an absolute train wreck for the Canes. How has Manny Diaz been able to just stay hot on this recruiting trail? I mean, because it's honestly blowing my mind that you know, we keep getting all these kids considering what happened last year.
I think the biggest thing is the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic. The shutdown of recruiting has helped them a lot because a lot of these local guys, they know Miami. Miami's been on a lot of these Miami kids trails for 3 years, 2 years. They've been on them since they were sophomores, since they were freshmen. Hell, some of them since they were in middle school. So when you have the trust level with a lot of these coaches and a lot of these players, it's a lot easier to get commits. And, you know, maybe it's just because Manny Diaz is a god. Maybe it's because Manny Diaz is the greatest recruiter Miami has had in 20 years. I don't know. Maybe there is something that we don't know that Miami, Manny Diaz, and Rhett Lashley is doing that is insane. But right now, I think a lot of it is this pandemic, this shutdown has helped Miami get back in the room with some of these kids. Because who knows if Romello Brinson commits if the shutdown doesn't happen and he's able to go visit Georgia and Texas A&M. Maybe we're talking about Romello Brinson and Georgia Red today, and it's another missed Miami prospect. But I don't want to talk about these hypotheticals because, again, they got Romello Brinson, and I don't know what else to tell you. This is the greatest day in probably about a year and a half to be a Miami Hurricanes fan because there's been a lot of bad, and now there's a lot of good. Yeah. And there's no reason not to be excited for the future of the Miami Hurricanes, for the current time Miami Hurricanes, and more importantly, if you can keep recruiting like they did for Romello Brinson, I don't want to say it, but maybe we're talking about Jake Garcia in Miami. And I mean, again, it gives me goosebumps. It gives me chills. And I get excited thinking about it. And if that's the case, sign me up. I don't know. I would kill to have him. I would kill to have him in Miami, Jake Garcia. I would kill to have Jake Garcia in Miami because I'm just imagining the future of the Miami Hurricanes offense with Jake Garcia, with Jalen Knighton, with Romello Brinson, with Worsham, with all these talented players. And then you talk about the just like 16 tight ends that they'll have. I mean, yeah, sign me up.
Absolutely.
Where can I sign up for this? Because I'll love to.
I feel pretty good about that, honestly. I mean, like I said, I'm no recruiting expert. I don't have any inside info, but you know, I've learned to kind of trust my gut with these things. You know, I called both Quincy Roche and De'Arik King to Miami the morning it happened, just off of a gut feeling. And you know, like, I'm feeling really good about Jake Garcia. Like, I'd bet $20 on him coming to Miami, honestly.
I think there's good reason to, because you mentioned Miller Moss commits there, and maybe then he's looking at other reasons as to where he can get an immediate starting job. And maybe Miami's offering him the chance to start immediately and not have to redshirt his freshman year. I don't know. That's a possibility. And if that's the case, then holy crap.
Absolutely.
Miami will be excited going into Alabama and the Michigan State and all these other Power 5 schools. And there's another reason why they can beat these kind of schools. Now, will they beat Alabama? That's a whole other conversation. We can talk about that year from now. But there's a lot of reason to be excited. And I think the biggest thing is get in the room with Jake Garcia. Get the possibility for him to come and get – Khalil Brantley on him because he seems to be the greatest recruiter that Miami has ever had. I mean
that kid is like everything that you want in a leader and an ambassador for this recruiting class. But Kevin, man, thank you so much for making the time to come on, brother. We'll definitely have you on again soon, and hope you're staying safe down there, man.
Anytime man Go Canes. And Romello Brinson's a Cane. I can't believe I'm saying this every 2 seconds. This is the greatest day of my life.
Baby.
This is the greatest day of my life. I'm so excited.
Thanks for coming on, Kevin. Go Canes, bro.
Go Canes, man.
Dude, I love Kevin. That was great.
I just love the optimism and the positivity that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, so check this out. I just did I did a little bit of 247's class calculator. So with Romello Brinson, we just moved into the ninth class overall. If we were to add Jake Garcia, we would jump Oregon and Florida and have the seventh class. So not bad, dude. I mean, especially coming off of 6 and 7 year. Manny knows what he's doing.
I can't even breathe right now because I've been yelling, but it's, yeah, like, props to Manny, man. Like,
yeah.
And also, like, the other recruiters on staff, like Rob Likens, Coach Field, like, they are knocking it out of the park right now.
Yeah, they are, dude. I could not be happier with our offensive staff right now. I mean, I always forget the name of our running backs coach. Hickson. Yeah, I don't know why, but I still always say like Thomas Brown in my head when I want to say our. But yeah, dude, Hickson's been killing it, and you know, now that we have Lashley, and to be fair, like Enos was a pretty solid recruiter from what it seemed like. I mean, he had us right there with Garcia, but now that we have Likens and Justice and Lashley, dude, we're kind of unstoppable recruiting wide receivers, and Coach Field as well. He's a great recruiter.
Yeah. I mean, because he's the inner city guy when it comes to recruiting. I mean, he knows. I mean, he used to coach for Miami Northwestern. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's I mean, Mike McCoy, our dude, shout out. He was saying today on Twitter, he's like, it's not a coincidence that we're landing, you know, five guys from Northwestern when they're this stacked. You know, he's like, that has a lot to do with Coach Field being a former head coach there. And wasn't Telly Lockett like the offensive coordinator there as well?
Yeah, I don't remember his official position, but yeah, something like that. It's just this recruiting staff that Manny has put together is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't at the same time because Coach Field was the head coach and offensive coordinator when he was there. But I'm pretty sure after he moved on that Telly Lockett was an offensive coordinator there. So, yeah, man. Should I dial in James?
Let's do it.
Cool. Hello.
What's up, James? What's going on, James?
Hey, what's going on?
Dude, we're hyped.
We are hyped as hell.
James, you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, cool.
How you feeling, man? What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just you know, going through my struggles in life regarding, you know, the passing of my father.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, making arrangements. This is always like some real hard times, but I don't really get on Twitter like that like I used to. I mean, I've been with everything going on, but sure enough, I guess I turned into a heck of a day to see what's going on, and we just witnessed some Kane's history.
Yeah, man, and condolences about your dad, and I hope your family's doing well. But you're spot on, man. This is a huge day for Miami recruiting. I mean, especially coming off a 6 and 7 year, I'm just really hoping this is the springboard that we need, you know?
Yeah,
feels like everything's in place.
Well, we always, you know, one of the things I always talk about is the culture of Miami and you know, how much I highlight that. And sure enough, guess what we got today? We got a guy who brought out the entire city of Miami who said, I'm going to school in Miami and I'm going to represent this hometown the best I can. And I think that goes a hell of a way to rebuild exactly what the school needed.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know? And it was really cool to see because I was watching Romello Brinson's Instagram live when he was making his decision, and literally like the entire community was out to support him. And that just goes to show you, man, that the Hurricanes they really do mean a lot to the city of Miami. And I mean, we all want to see the Canes back to being what they should be. And you know, the South Florida, the city of Miami, it's just, we need the Canes to be good again, man, and that's what we want. That's what I love about this fan base and about this culture is that, you know, we're ride and die with the Hurricanes because it's more of a community thing than any other program in college football, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So let me ask you a question, James. So, and we just asked our last guest this. Coming off of a 6-7 season, how do you think why do you think Manny Diaz has been able to, you know, stay hot on the recruiting trail and get all these kids?
I think that he's done a lot of community outreach regarding recent events. Not only, I don't want to say it's all been community outreach, but I think that one thing that was highlighted by this coaching staff is trying to make home kids feel at home and trying to make home kids feel like this is exactly where they need to be. It's a lot bigger than a personal decision. It's a decision that has your entire community behind you. And I think that that message goes a long way, especially given recent events. You know, I'm not going to say it's all that. It's 100% that, but I think that that plays a big part of it where, you know, we're starting to see the rebirth of kids wanting to be there for their community and giving some people some hope of where they come from, saying that, look, I not only go to a major college and a top college, but I could play there on my way to the pros as well. And that goes a hell of a way to rebuilding a culture that much needs that right now.
Yeah. And, you know, piggybacking on what you said, I don't want to overstep my bounds here because I've never lived in South Florida. I've never lived in like the deep South Bible Belt area. But I think from like an objective observation point of view, I think recent events have just kind of highlighted the differences between South Florida and like the Bible Belt. And, you know, maybe that will be something that makes kids think twice, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know as far as like, how much of an impact that'll have. Miami's obviously not exactly the South when you think about the South traditionally. But maybe that goes a long way to making kids rethink about maybe choosing their schools wisely, maybe choosing schools where their community appreciates them more rather than, you know, opposes them ideologically or opposes them in any political way or any you know, traditional way. And, you know, we see a lot of that going on here, and it's unfortunate, especially given what I just saw in Clemson in South Carolina after Dabo just gave a speech out there. It's pretty horrible. So, I mean, maybe that goes a long way in that maybe convincing these kids that play for a community where they really appreciate you and they embrace you and they embrace you culturally. So,
yeah,
definitely. And let me ask this because, I mean, I'm not sold yet on Manny Diaz as a head coach. I mean, I love him as a defensive coordinator, as a recruiter, obviously. But what do you like most about Coach Diaz and, you know, what he's building in Coral Gables?
Believe it or not, bro, and it's going to sound crazy, the most thing I like about Manny Diaz is that he's figuring it out fast. And he's putting together, you know, what he needs to correct one of the worst seasons in Miami's history fast. And I think that he understands that if he can't snap his fingers and will it, he's going to make sure that all the factors are in place for him to be that type of successful coach that Miami is needed. And I think that he's putting that in play right now. You're starting to see Coach Field has been a complete monster out there. I mean, I haven't even been much online and I've seen that. You start to see the community outreach that Manny's doing. You're starting to see like how he's going into these communities and relating. There's a lot what Bo Schnelli Schnellenberger used to do this. He gave kids a feeling like, hey, you stay home, you have somebody here that's going to look after you, like almost like as a family member. And like that type of community outreach Manny's done is now proving is starting to bear fruit and starting to prove points.
I'm just so hyped about this. I don't know. Here's the thing with Manny is you got to remember he didn't play football at a high level. You know, what was it like 15 years ago? He was working for ESPN, like, you know, assembling highlights, probably on his way to become a SportsCenter anchor.
Yeah. And,
you know, so, I mean, like you said, James, I just think he's a smart dude. You know, to jump into football and be going up against these guys that have just lived and breathed X's and O's for a long time and then to become an excellent defensive coordinator. Like, not just good, he's excellent. You know, schematically, you know, all this stuff. And then I see no reason why he couldn't, you know, pick up head coaching on the fly and really make a good career out of it. He's kind of been able to do whatever he's wanted, or you know, just in terms of an ability standpoint. He's a talented guy.
Absolutely. Well, this is why you don't fire a coach after one season. I mean, I always said to people, man, you know, you have to give them more than one season. As much as I just didn't want what happened last year to happen, and there's still people, a lot of people that are not sold, and I get that. This is going to happen. It's going to keep on happening. But he's got to turn the tide, man. He's got to load up with the weapons. He's got to make sure that the culture is there. He's got to restore the culture. And I think that maybe, you know, first season he might have felt like it would have been easier than what he thought. But now he's starting to realize that this is a game of literally X's and O's, figurative and literally. And, you know, he's playing it on the field. He has to play it on the field as well as off the field. And we're starting to see off the field he's been an absolute general. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, if something doesn't work, he goes out there and gets the pieces to make it work. Yeah. So, I mean, now there's no excuses, but now it's a game of hopefully we can make it work from here going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think – sorry, go ahead, Marsh.
No, you go.
Well, I was just saying, I think last year he had to take his lumps in learning that as a coach it can't be style over substance. Because his approach has been totally different, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, but I do think that shows learning, you know, that it is more of, I guess, putting his shoulder to the wheel, you know, like it's the hard work. He's grinding now. He's not so focused on making headlines with his, you know, with his antics so much as making headlines with his successes. Which I think is actually a very good allegory to where our program is now versus where it used to be. Is I feel like our program used to make more headlines with its successes, and now it's more with antics. You know, it's more with the turnover chain and decommitments and being disappointing in terms of, you know, like starting the season in the top 10 and then going 7-6. Stuff like that is why we're making headlines now. And I think Manny figured it out that if you're making the headlines for what you're accomplishing on the field, you know, then everything else will follow suit. Everything else will fall into place. I mean, that is – I feel like the swag is like a natural byproduct of Miami winning, right? So why put effort into having swag when it'll come as long as you win?
No, of course. Yeah. No, I totally get it. There's been a lot of coaches, and I'm not saying Manny did this, but I've heard a lot about like Al Golden and prior coaches, and they thought that it was going to be as easy as just coming here and the mystique of the U is going to take care of itself and you're just going to come in here and win. And it's always been harder than that. It was never going to be that easy. And we needed somebody that, like I said, Manny, we had the first time I was on this podcast, I said that I believe in Manny has what it takes to change us culturally. As far as the what's on the field and how he manages the X's and O's and the clock management and everything else, time will tell. But I'm back to saying what I've always said. This has to translate. I mean, I love the off-the-field moves. I love everything. But, I mean, had we go ahead and have an abysmal season, all this will be for naught. You know, kids might change their mind. They might say, hey, you know, maybe Alabama's looking a little bit better now. Miami lost 5 games on an easy schedule. Things change. I mean, and it changes quickly in college football. That's why I'm always like, you know, until Saban and Dabo and Ryan Day up in Ohio State have their say, I'm not falling in love with any recruiting classes yet. You know what I'm saying? It's not until they give the A-OK that we can keep our class. Because, I mean, it just seems like always kids just, you know, something happens January, you know, dead periods, kids change minds, kids decommit, they get like – they go on these visits, they go here, they say, I can't imagine playing anywhere else but here. And, you know, people are left that are super invested in this are left heartbroken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're preaching, brother. You're preaching. So last question for you, man. We don't want to keep you too long on a Saturday night. How important is it that Manny Diaz and his staff are getting these top recruits in South Florida and convincing them and you know, letting them know that staying home in Miami is the right choice?
Well, I mean, you can't sell them wins right now. but you're selling them a culture change. You're selling them what can be. You're not yet ready. When you're in a stage like this and you have what's been behind you, it can't sell the kids going forward. It can't sell top recruits going forward. What you can sell is what you potentially can be. And, you know, what potentially can be is you have one of the top offensive coordinators in Rhett Lashley. You have one of the guys who is already – his name is already being thrown around the NFL, you know, as somebody who can be an offensive coordinator at that level because that's where the NFL is going. So, I mean, you saw this, you know, that we're setting you up for the NFL. We're setting you up for that you're going to be surrounded with kids that understand that there needs to be a culture change. And before you know it, yeah, everything comes together where you start seeing these top kids in Miami saying that we're going to be sold on what can be. We're not going to be sold on what it is or where it was. We're going to be the class that changes this. Kind of like Bo Schnellenberger's first class. You know, the way that his first major class came all together, and he sold them what can be, not what was. And it all came together, his vision, you know, and they won a championship 5 years later. But that's the type of culture change that Bo Schnellenberger sold. And I think that Manny can do a good job selling that same, we're going to change this and don't look at it for what it is. Don't look at it from where we've been. Look at it where we're going. You know, it's almost like a stock, you know, a stock and like a penny stock. I mean, it is what it sounds. So it sucks to compare Miami to that, but don't look at it to where the value was. Look at it that this can be the next Amazon. This can be the next, you know, Microsoft. This could be the next Google if played right and managed right. You know, an investment so small can become something so big, and you sell people on that, and that's how you bring people on board.
Yeah, totally. And I love the point that you're making. I mean, he's just building for the future, man. And I really don't want to be overconfident and be delusional, but I mean, you got to believe in what he's building since that, you know, horrendous Louisiana Tech game. It's just, if you would have told me the day after that bowl game loss that Miami would be in a position where they are right now, I would have told you to get the hell out of my face.
Yeah, I remember that video like it was yesterday, you know, the video that you made, the angry one. And it's funny because I think back to that video and I think that it was an important video you made. You didn't like making it, but I mean, I always tell people, what's the point of lying to yourself? What do we get out of it? You know what I mean? I've never been a guy who likes to lie to himself. We got to acknowledge where the program is. We have to acknowledge where it's going and where it can be. But all of it begins with acknowledging where it is now, and where it was is the shitter. Excuse my language. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, spot on.
You know, but that doesn't mean we have to stay there. That doesn't mean that we're forever going to be there. You know, that means that we need people, the right people who appreciate the program, who will bleed for the brand, who will bleed for the youth, who go out there and put everything on their line because they love their hometown, they love their home city, and they want to see, you know. I always told recruits this. I said, where else besides Miami, if you're from down here, well, you have kids playing in Pop Warner League saying, I'm the next this, I'm the next Sean Taylor. You won't find that anywhere else. I mean, yeah, you find it in Pop Warners and in Texas or whatever, but Miami's special because if you stay here and you play here, then you start seeing that resonate with the community more than anywhere, I think, in the entire country. Because people that play football at any level, with your Pee Wee, Pop Warner, whatever, you know, playing football is almost like a bond. And people get that down here. And people are like, they have a bond. Like kids that are from the inner cities that play football, they have that bond with the Romello Brinson, with the, you know, Frank Ladsons. They have a bond with a lot of these kids. And the kids that stay and play and be like, hey, I can do it right here, I think that's extra special for that reason.
Yeah, totally, totally, totally. And yeah, I'm just... Man, it's a great night to be a Miami Hurricane, man. I'm so hyped and so happy. But James, thank you so much for coming on, brother. You're in our prayers, man. You're in our prayers. I know it's a tough time, but we're praying for you, man, and we love you. And we'll get you on the show again here soon, man.
And much love, man. Thanks, guys, man. And I appreciate you guys reaching out. I appreciate you guys checking up on me. And you know, it's a turbulent time in my life. But I mean, I just thank God I'm still here. I thank God for the blessings that I have. And I always tell people, man, the reunion's going to be 10 times better. You know, when it comes down to the people we lose in our life, I tell people, man, just play your cards right. And the reunion's going to be 10 times better. Yeah, so the reunion's always better.
Yep, I believe in that as well. So, but yeah, we'll keep you in mind, man, and all the best. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Much love. Take care.
All right, see ya.
All righty. Good All show. Right, man. I don't think there's anything else to say.
No, just, I mean, a lot of unintelligible screaming, loud noises that we could make to, you know.
Hey, that's how we roll, man.
That's, you know, that captures the emotion of the evening, right? It's just loud mm-hmm. noises.
Well, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yep.
Okay, sweet, brother K. Well, we'll be back on Monday. Big show on Monday coming up. So get that. Well, Romelo Brenson's a Hurricane. And till then, on Monday, go Canes.
Yeah, go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like.